This is a wonderful group. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Are you Pastor? You're Justin, aren't you? You were just out there wearing a shirt and tie, yeah. So what did you say? He's like Superman. He runs into like phone booths and changes real quick so he can come and be with you guys. Wow, this is a great group. Thank you so much for the privilege. And our being here, Teresa and I being here in this particular setting is just, no kidding, spur of the moment. We didn't plan to be here. In fact, William Goss is supposed to be entertaining the other class till we get there.
I'll be
there. You're okay. You should stay right there. But
thank you, Brother Joe.
You're welcome. But anyway, we're going to only be in here 10 minutes, and we're going to scoot out. So I'm watching the clock. I want to read a scripture and then give a testimony. 1 Thessalonians 4. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk, and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Sometimes we're saying, what's the will of God? Some of you guys are ready for college or something. And you're saying, what's the will of God? What's my career going to be? What should I study? What's going to be my major? What's the will of God? For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that ye should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel. And there's a couple interpretations on that particular verse. Some would say, you know how to possess your wife and relate to your wife so that you can stay pure. Probably the best interpretation he's talking about there is how to control your body in sanctification and honor. Not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. You see, those of us who know Jesus, we're under a totally different government. We're in the government of God. Whereas those who are Gentiles, who don't know Jesus at all, they're under the government of the world. And so it doesn't matter to them about sexual purity. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. When I was 56 years old, my first wife died. Her name was Diane. We had four children. They're all grown now and married and walking with the Lord. I never expected to be a widow, or never expected it. I ministered to a lot of people who were widows and widowers, but I'd never thought I'd be there, but I was. And so I took, that was in 02, and then in 03, I took all year just to grieve. And I realized you perhaps had lost loved ones, but for me, I lost my soulmate. And so I took a whole year just to grieve, and I traveled to our old houses where the kids were born, and the old churches where I used to preach, and so forth. And just took time to let that soak in. And then one of the questions you ask yourself at that age is, do I want to stay alone? Does God want me married? But to make a long story short, in 04, I began to really know Teresa. Now, she had been in our church, and she had lost her husband in 01. My wife died of cancer, so it was kind of a long, slow death, and I did a lot of caring for her. But then in 04, Teresa and I started being in a group. We called it the FLOP group, okay? Friends Living on Purpose. Cool? Well, we thought maybe the single group called theirs the SLOP group, you know, singles living on purpose, but they didn't go for that, okay? And anyway, I saw Teresa in this group, and we'd have fellowship on Friday night at a restaurant or something, because when you lose your mate, one of the main things you miss is just not having someone that you can talk to at the end of the day. So we gather, and I begin to see Teresa. I loved what I saw, and I began to ask God permission, can I see her? And so in January of 05, I asked her out for the first time. Now you got to understand, if you stop and do the math, you got to understand by this particular time, I'm 59 years old. You know, first of all, I didn't think I'd ever be that old. But then, to think I'm going to be like falling in love again, like some kind of kid. And I was crazy, man. I was writing poems, I was writing songs. I was buying flowers, you know, and just like, whoa. And I had those feelings, you know, that I had back when I was a kid. And because she's like beautiful, right? And so, anyway, I was falling in love. So I asked her out in January of 05. We went out. And then we started courting. And we courted for 2 years and 3 months. And you know, I often say this, and I say it sincerely. I had pastored a church. We had four children. I now had grandchildren. And so there was a lot at stake, and it was important that I be pure. And so Teresa and I decided in our relationship that we would not even kiss until the wedding. And you know what? I'm so thankful, because there's just a lot of things that went on there. Let me just tell you this. If you have sex before you're married, if I would have had sex with Teresa before we married, you know what would have happened to me? I would not know then if I loved her or if I just loved having sex with her. I would lose all objectivity. And you guys know what I'm talking about. You're smart. And so I wouldn't know if I really loved this person or if I just loved having sex with her. And you don't know this now. You don't. But every adult lady in this room or man who's been married, I can tell you that the number one need of a woman is security. And part of that security is knowing that you as a man will be faithful to her and her alone. And when people have a physical relationship before they get married, you sow seeds of distrust in that relationship. So then she doesn't know. It's like, okay, if we did this before we were married, what's going to keep him from doing this while we're married? And so communication breaks down. But I'm so glad to say we're coming up on our third anniversary, and we're more in love today than we were the first day we met. Our love continues to grow because we build it on a solid foundation. I don't have time to draw that picture for you today, but maybe someday I can come back and draw you how to build it. And it's amazing. Teresa and I, we drew those things on our dates, didn't we? You know, I'd take out a napkin and I'd draw these diagrams and I'd say, babe, this is the way it's got to be. And she was total agreement with it. And she's going to come right now real quick and tell you how it made her feel. Okay?
I have 4 minutes to talk, and I talk a lot, so I'm going to cram a bunch and just catch what you can. Truly what Joe said, and I speak to all of you, but especially to the young ladies in the room, and when God gives you the blessing of marriage, if that comes to you, you are going to want security in that relationship. And so Joe and I came to a place when we made this decision. And to tell you the truth, I felt as though there would be no pressures in our relationship, knowing that a physical relationship was not going to happen until after we were married, if God even granted that. And so, just as he said, I feel like some of the words I'm repeating, but I have friends who crossed that line before marriage and entered into a physical relationship. And they were shattered afterward because they weren't sure that it wasn't going to happen again with someone away from them. So I really encourage you to treat your body physically as the vessel that God created and to not feel that your body belongs to you. Joe's late wife died a slow death of cancer. And I, on the other hand, walked out into my garage one morning, February 6th of 01, and I found my husband face down, and he was dead. He was gone. And that rocked my world from that day on. And on that day, God said, the only one with you now is me. He gave me permission to share with my last. And on that day, that went away. And for 6 years, again, it was a relationship between God and myself until April of 07. And then he gave me permission to be with Joe. But please respect your body and respect the creator of your body until he gives you to someone. You don't deserve any less than that, and neither does the man that you'll ever be with. And so, you're a creation of God, and I ask you if there's anything from a standpoint of speaking with any of the girls. If there's anything that you, if you have any questions today, we're here until after lunch. If you just want me to pray with you, I'll do that as well. And thanks for giving us the time just to speak with you and to share our hearts. It's very real for us.
I know you have good and godly people here, Pastor Justin. I know you have parents. And I know you don't understand some of the things that Teresa and I were talking about today and know and see them as clearly as we do because we're much older. But I can tell you as a dad and as a grandpa, if you will just obey God one day at a time and don't let the thrill of the moment make you compromise God's word, there'll come a day when you'll be so happy. You're looking at me. I am absolutely one of the most happy men you can ever imagine. I have such joy in my heart every day. I do. And one of the reasons is because I have absolutely no guilt, none, zero. You can't catch me in anything. Because I'm right with God, I'm right with people, I'm right with money, I'm right with Teresa. And there's such a joy in that. And we want you to have that joy. We want your joy to be full and Jesus' joy to be in you. God bless you.